You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Don't worry, I'm both rouge and a rogue.
And Daryl.
So no matter how poorly you spell, you're still covered.
Greetings and welcome to episode 167 of The Training Dummies, recorded on May 17th, 2017. My name is Daryl, and yeah, I got nothing, as usual. But anyway, I am joined by my co-host, Rob, as always. How you doing this evening, Rob?
I appreciate the 80 gold that you gave me in Hearthstone earlier this evening.
What do you mean? I don't play Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm. I have screenshots, man.
We're probably. Probably. All right. And our guest tonight is someone who's been here before for another class, but he does more than one class guide on Wowhead, so we're bringing him back. Let's give a big Training Dummies welcome to Greyhound. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Girl at the prom.
What's that? Sorry.
I feel like the prettiest girl at the prom night.
Oh, there
everybody's clapping for me.
You are. You absolutely are. Well, thanks for coming back to join us for a second time. I guess the first one wasn't so bad that you ran away forever. But
no.
I know we'll skip the whole speed dating thing because we know who you are. But maybe if you can tell us a little bit about, like, you know, what it is to you to do some of the guide writing, and how do you write a guide for Prop Pally and then turn around and do one for Sub Rogue? That seems like quite the jump there.
I mean, for me, it's kind of not really of a jump. I started playing on European service in vanilla as a healing priest. That was Dark Days that I never want to talk about again. But back in the days when I moved to US servers near the start of GBC, I decided to roll a rogue because, as playing a classy priest in vanilla, rogues were the number one reason why I hated being on PvP server, and number one reason why I had buff sound on. That as soon as you hear that stealth sound, you know that you're screwed, but at least you have like some half a second to prepare yourself mentally for what's going to happen. So when BC came out and I got the chance to restart my account, I'm like, you know what? I've had enough of those rogues. They're terrible, terrible people. I'm going to be playing one of them and not have to deal with that. So I mained a rogue through Burning Crusade, Lich King, Cataclysm. At the start of MOP, I joined a raiding guild, and we went through 6 tanks in a span of 2 weeks, which was honestly quite impressive, I would say. So in order to kind of fix the issues of our guild not being able to sustain tanks and just do anything, me and one other officer decided to roll tank, which is when I started to really mainly play Prot Paladin. Because up until that point, Prot Paladin was one of my alts, but I was never serious about it. So that happened that I... And from that point on, I usually play 2 or 3 classes at once. So say from start of MOP till basically end of Emerald Nightmare, I played as both Prot Paladin and Rogue. Every once in a while, adding in a new class, like I want to say at some points I would add like a Hunter, I would add a Guardian Druid, I would add a Windwalker Brewmaster Monk. But those were like my kind of old alts, and I had 2 mains at pretty much every single point. Like I would raid on 2 guilds for most of it, and it was interesting. And honestly, I didn't like the direction that tanking was going in WoD compared to MOP. And I liked it even less in Legion. In Legion, tanking was... I didn't see like any exciting promises that Blizzard told us. Like when we were transitioning from MOP to WoD, we lost Vengeance, but we got a Resolve. But Blizzard still said, like, well, you guys are going to get exciting mechanics. Tanking is going to be fun. Tanking is going to be engaging. When we got from WoD to Legion... We heard the same promises again. Tanking is not going to be just taunted 3 stacks. Tanking isn't going to be boring. You're going to have more mechanics, especially after the horrible mechanical madness that was Arky, where it's the last final boss of the expansion. So there was a big thing, and Tanks just kills himself in phase 3. That was just a terrible experience, too. Like, you're just like, oh, well, I'm just gonna die now. So it's part of the strat. So once we get into Emerald Nightmare, and I see that in reality, nothing changed. Like, on... Every single boss is just 10 ton to 2 stacks, ton to 3 stacks. There's 0 variance. It's very boring. It's very... It's very boring, again. That's the main issue. The second issue being that as a tank, I feel like, especially playing a Proud Paladin, you're very helpless. Like, you had to rely so much on your healers and keeping you alive that at some point I was just like, you would die, and I can't really do anything except throw my hands up in the air and say, like, well, what else do you want me to do? Like, you're dying to auto attacks because you don't have 100% active mitigation coverage in, like, some of the other tanks, and it's really just not fun. So at that point, since I already was playing my rogue actively and I was raiding on my rogue, and it was still in mythic progression, it was a bit behind my Proud Paladin, but it was still mythic progression, I decided, like, you know what, that's been fallen all, but I'm just going to go and play my rogue as my main, and that was it.
So are you still actively playing both? Because I remember the last time that we had you on, we had an issue and we had to record, I think it was either Saturday or Sunday, because you were doing two raids, raiding six nights a week. So are you still doing that now?
Right now I'm kind of ramped it down a bit. So one thing that helps is my rogue's guild, which is much higher progressed, where right now I think you as ace, is nice, being top 10. We're just now one night clearing, and like pretty much every other guild in top 15, we don't do splits, we don't do ults. So we go out on Wednesday, we clear, we're done, we have the entire week to do whatever we want. Some people do Mythic Plus, and by some I mean like two or three people, because now you don't really need to farm them. Other people play Counter-Strike, PUBG, whatever. So we have time to spare now, which is really nice, and which is, for me, I remember that as I sort of like throughout years, I would go from a more casual guild to a more hardcore guild. That was one of the nicest things to me as a raider that I noticed that when I was in a really casual guild, your tier basically, you would raid like full days. Like you say, like you're a 3-day guild, you probably wouldn't kill Zen boss, and even if you did, like your pre-clears would take forever. And you would just raid every single day for those 3 days until the next tier comes out, and then you raid the same 3 days, but in just the next raid. And now, and like being a, I would say, respectably higher ranked guild, what it means is that, like, yeah, for a first month when you're progressing, you're doing four days, let's say. After that, you go down to 3 years, and you go down to 2, and now you're just doing 1 day in and out, nice, easy breezy cover girl. So that it's really nice for time, and I feel like that's one of the people's misconceptions about hardcore raiding, that, like, I talk to people like, oh, you're in a 5-day guild, we're in a 3-day guild, like, we have a life, we can't afford to, like, raid 5 days a week, and I'm just, like, telling them, like, guys, like, let's say, a lot of those hardcore guilds, especially, like, the 7 days, like, Meta Serenity, Maze, Rest in Peace, Exorcist, yes, they raid for 7 days, but after that, they roll down their schedule a lot, and as soon as you're kind of done with progression, you start to raid, like, 1 or 2 days. And it's really nice for me. Like, say, I enjoy just saying, go in on Wednesday. Go in on Tuesday, clear a raid. And, like, Wednesday I can go to the gym. Thursday I can go to the bar. Friday I can go to the gym with friends. Mondays I can go to the gym or bar or friends or anything else. And it just gives me more time during the downtime between content patches to do whatever I want.
That makes sense. That's kind of, I don't know. Like, I like, there's been times in our raiding career that I wish we raided more, but I think I'm at a point now where I actually really like it. It's once a week. We clear what we clear. We have fun, and it leaves a lot of room for other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing is, like, for me, I like raiding a lot. I like being, I would say, like, a highly competitive, progressive raider, and this gives me that chance that I can be a progressive raider. I can push to the end. I can get high ranks. But at the same time, you don't have to do the whole grind 24/7. You don't have to do it like for an entire tier. You push hard at the start, and then you gradually ramp down until you're in the same 1 day guild thing. And that's really nice. And that's honestly why I like our guild a lot, because I'm pretty sure like SPK, this amazing Strawberry Puppy Kisses. I think like we're the only guild. Like, I know we're the only guild in top 10, probably like top 20 US. It doesn't do splits, doesn't do ults. We don't have to gear up like our second character to do mythics on or anything like that.
All right. Perfect. Well, Rob, do you got anything else before we get into the rogues?
Nah, man. I'm ready to do it.
All right.
This is Alec from Golden Wisp Podcast, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments, want to find out how we are doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Coblin, and Daryl is at Daryl_TTD. And if it's not obvious, tonight we're talking about subtlety rogues. And we brought back Greyhound because He is the premier guide writer to fill us in on this. So I will let you drive the bus, whichever way you want, off the cliff, up the hill, however you want to do this.
That sounds exciting. I love driving things off the cliff.
Nice. Well, do we want to start with stats then?
Yeah, so
all right.
In general, as every single class in Spec Discord will say, when people ask for stats rates, it's Simit. And when people complain about it, it's still Simit. But for rogues, I honestly, personally, I haven't used it in, I want to say, last month or so. But I know it was really good up until recently, and I can even probably open it up 1 second. So for rogues, because every single person knows that rogues are terrible human beings, also known as lazy, you don't want to, often enough, you might not want to like open, download Simulation Craft, install it, patch it, load your character, set everything up. So there's a really nice website called shadowcraft.mmo-mumble.com, which okay. allows you to just sort of put in your character. It pulls from the armor. You can set it to refresh. You can play around with talents. It's not 100% accurate. Like, I'm not going to question that. There are some various degrees of questions. Like, you, one of the things is you don't really want to compare your damage between specs. I know that I don't think Outlaw module is working the best it can, but it does give you out stat weights, which are really nice. And because, in reality, as you change gear, your stat weights also change. So what that means in SimC is that if you say you have, for some reason, let's say you have 25 pieces and all of them are pure master, and you're like seeing like, wow, now all of a sudden haste is really good for me. If somehow magically you switch to 25 pieces and all of them have haste, your stat base will be changed completely. So in that's why in reality, if you say you're simming things, you generally want to switch only a few pieces between simulations and see like how your stat base changed and get zone in on most optimal gears that way. I know that Shadowcraft generally switches your stat weights as you, like, it kind of gives you, like, a window. Like, let me link it in chat so you guys can see it. And here we go. So there it gives you, like, a small window that you can see which pieces of gear you have, how much stat weights you have, your gear stats on your gear, and so on. So it's again, it's not 100% precise. I know that the actual DPS numbers are somewhat fairly off, I would say, to put it slightly. But it does give you an idea of stats. If you really want a raw estimate, like, well, I just got this piece, it's 20 item level upgrade, but it has questionable stats. Should I use it? Generally, it, like, if your DPS goes up here, it's probably going to go up in SimC and vice versa. Granted, again, like I said, the numbers aren't the best representation. If you want a more extended answer for stat weights and so on, you generally always want a sim, because I know that for sub, it's generally you want mastery and verse, then crits and haste. But again, depending on your legendaries, depending on your relics, and so on, if you have tier or if you don't have tier, those weights change. Like, kind of, for example, if you have sub boots, your haste value takes a dive. If you have rogue-specific rings, the insignia of Ravenhold, generally your versatility value goes up. So that was nice. But again, like, you... at the end of the day, you still really want to sim every single one.
That's what I was running to earlier. I'm just really trying to figure out the... Like, I have several legendaries now, and I don't feel like any of them are the premier ones, you know, from the research I've done. And I'm trying to, you know, get a conversation going around it. And a lot of people are like, sim.
The nice thing for like, rogues, okay. For all three specs, is that it's very easy to remember that all three rogues have the same exact premier legendaries. So generally, it's shoulders, bracers, boots. The only exception is Outlaw, where the boots aren't so good, but that insignia ring becomes somewhat better. But in reality, for both sub and assassinations, the top three legendaries are shoulders, bracer, boots, which is nice because they're in the same slot. So if you're switching gear, and because sub and assassination really want pretty much the same itemization right now, I believe for both specs right now, it's like, at least for me, it's mastery versus top two stats. It's really nice. Like, you don't have to switch any of the other pieces, and you just swap out legendaries. Well, shoulders, you don't even need to swap out if you're using them.
Yeah, and if you have tier, then it doesn't really
interfere
with that. That's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's time we did another simming episode.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings. Like, I totally get how to do it, but like, I think it's becoming more and more important the more you value, you know, like, min-maxing, I guess, or at least like wanting to step out of casual and do a better job, you know.
I would say that simming is becoming a lot more prominent in this expansion, because previously you could say, like, okay, you want this gear from raid, and that's it. And now it's like, you have all of this dungeon gear that has a comparable item level to raid gear. You have all of the raid gear, you have possibility of Titanforge, Warforge, sockets, everything. So it's very hard. In reality, it's very hard for most players, I would say, even like theory crafters and so on, to be consistent and say, like, well, this is a really good piece of gear, you want to use it? Because that's exactly the issue, that you have, like, how do you compare, let's say, like, you, like, let's say for me, in all of Nighthold, let's say there's like so many leather belts. I know that Gul'dan one is best, right? The issue is, even Mythic Gul'dan belt is 910. So let's say I get a 925 one, and it's like haste crit, which are, let's say, two more stats for me. Do I know if 925 haste crit is better for me than a 910 one? Don't know if it's better for me than a 915 one. Don't know if it's better than a 905 one. Now, what if it has a socket, and so on? And there's like so many of those little factors that at some point for theory crafters, this is kind of like always a nightmare scenario, this Legion, and all of the different possibilities of item level, which is why it's kind of like it's on one hand, it's a lazy way out, saying, like, I'm not going to do it, just sim it. But on the other hand, again, because sim stats change as you gain gear, as you switch gear, you basically just have to say, just sim it. You have to go with that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something we'll have to look at, I think. All right, well, let's do a walk through the talent tree then. And, you know, kind of same as we did last time, you know, start at 15 and just kind of give a little brief of each on what's good, what's bad, what's a trap, what's great for AoE.
Well, it's a really nice thing about sub and doing this guide right now is that in 7.25 it's getting major reworks, so everything we're saying now is going to be irrelevant in about 3 months. Well, 3 months, huh? Probably like 3-4 weeks time. So you guys picked the perfect timing to give me another chance to come back here in another month or so. When people are PMing you, why did you tell me that this talent is good? It doesn't even exist in the talent tree, haha. Nice.
Well, the good thing is that we would absolutely love to have you back on, and we can do like a, you know, what's changed in the last patch too.
Yeah. What changed in 7.25? Greyhound started drinking more. I mean, oh, about the class, okay.
Well, did that really change, or is that just the way it is?
The further down Legion we go, the more apparent it becomes.
All right, then, before we get into the talents, maybe why the big rework? Why all of a sudden? Is sub just not doing well? Or?
Well, so this is actually a second rework. Well, in reality, they're reworking all three rogue specs. And this is kind of the second all three rogue specs rework. So going into Legion, we had this whole thing about class flavor, where rogues and hunters, from what I remember, were basically the worst defenders, especially rogues. Because rogues, honestly, like, I haven't played rogues in vanilla. I just know them as devils that one-shots you from stealth and then runs away screaming. But since BC, I would say that rogues played majorly the same. You had assassination, which was kind of a very slow-paced, people say easy, I would say just slow-paced spec, which was mostly about dots and bleeds. You had sub, which was generally like a feral druid of rogues, which also known as basically unviable most time in PvE, except some edge cases. Like, sub would always have this really good scaling, and it would become really good during the last year of expansion. But at the start, it would just be horrible, and you would hate playing the spec. And it was also usually considered to be more of a PvP spec, and also more complex due to that, as it had access to a lot more tools than other two specs. And combat, now known as Outlaw, was always just Ook Smash. And that Ook Smash was transitioning well from, I would say, BC up until Legion. This basically the only changes of Ook Smash was at one point you gained Killing Spree. I even want to say you got Killing Spree at the end of BC, so it's not really a new change. And then somewhere around, I want to say Cataclysm, if I'm remembering correctly, you got Bandit Wild, which basically meant that you would cycle through phases of doing extra damage, and you would want to line up your cooldowns with 50% damage, red phase, deep phase, whatever you want to call it. So, because of that, again, like, all specs played very similar. It's like 2-2-2-3, 2-2-2-1, where you have this one combo point builder, you have one or two finishers. Well, slice and dice for all three of them, except for assassination, which eventually got it pruned. All of them would have eviscerate, which would switch to envenom for assassinate and rupture. I think combat went ruptureless around mop. I can't really remember. And like I said, it was basically all the specs. They had the same combo point builders with minor exceptions. Like you would switch from mutilate to sinister strike to backstab. You would have the same finishers. You would have slice and dice and two or three specs depending on expansion. You would have eviscerate and two specs. You would have rupture and three specs. It was just very kind of samey. So going into Legions, it is a whole rework where assassination got this really big focus on poisons, which is, and bleeds, which is why we got agonizing poison and hemorrhage and rupture back. Outlaw became, well, combat became outlaw, which became the pirate RNGs spec. This questionable player enjoyment of said RNGs spec. Then you also had, yeah, I mean, people are very sensitive about their DPS. People are even more sensitive when their DPS depends on like 100% just random numbers. Like, let's say crit is random, but crit is consistently random. Rolls of Bones was random, which nobody likes. It's kind of like what Fire Mages complain about for every single expansion. When, like, I remember our Fire Mage, like, oh, I can't kill this ad by myself because I didn't crit. My class is terrible and it's RNG. And I'm like, buddy, you have 70% crit. Like, that's... Let's not blame RNG on this. But for Outlaw, that was literally RNG. Especially the range of RNG. Like, let's say the issue is crit, and Blizzard mentioned that they view crit as problematic, is that you can double your damage. Which is why in MOMP we got multi-strike, which was more consistent random, where it was doubles the rolls, but for, I want to say, 15% damage. So it was a lot, like, smaller variance. For Rolls of Bones, you could get one roll, which was somewhat okay, or you could get six rolls, which was insanely okay. And that, like, that range of being able to go from one roll to six rolls was just breaking the DPS. Like, it was very hard for developers to even tune the class properly, because if you undertune it, it means that as soon as that your rogue gets six buffs, he just destroys everything. On the flip side, if you're tuning around and saying, well, like, I expect them to get six buffs, if any fights they don't, their DPS just goes down in the gutter. So that was issue with Outlaw. So the issue with assassination was that it removed some of, I would say, more interesting gameplay, which is questionable to everybody who played assassination before, but assassination lost dispatch, which I think, like, it was an interesting ability for it. But overall, that was probably the least changed spec, except for agonizing poison, which is getting removed now also, so it doesn't even matter. Back to same old. As for sub, a lot of people really don't like how they reworked it. At the same time, they worked it to kind of what a lot of people were also asking for. So it's a very interesting thing. I feel like sub rework was one of the most one of the most complicated ones in terms of view of the community, because for the longest time ever, the issue with sub was that you had Shadow Dance. You would go into Shadow Dance, that was your 1 minute cooldown, you would do big damage. And outside of that, your damage was acceptable to lowish, I would say. So you had this one big cooldown. That was a class flavor. That was why sub rogues were amazing on Spine of Deathwing, along with Arcane Mages, because he had that, like, 1 minute cooldown. It wasn't right. Two, it wasn't three, it wasn't 5 minutes, it was 1 minute. You could hold it a bit, you could burst, and so on. So going into Legion, and at the same time, that was the issue with the class. That I noticed that when I was playing it in, say, HFC, it just felt very boring, because you have that one button, you press it, you do big damage for 8 seconds on your 1 minute cooldown, and then you're just sitting there like, well, I'm kind of doing damage, but it's so low that it's not really fun. So it was very, like, I would say, it was fairly skilled gameplay, because if you messed up during those 8 seconds, your damage would just be destroyed. But it was also, I feel like, to me, it was very boring, and I know that a lot of sub rogues will hate me for saying that. The second issue being that sub was always viewed as a PvP spec due to, like, the wide range of opportunities it had, because you could shadow dance, sap people, blind people, all of the 25 stuns, and so on. So going into Legion, Blizzard said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to rework the entire shadow dance mechanic. It's still going to be 1 minute cooldown, but you get three charges of it, which means that you can shadow dance way more often. In order to offset that, your damage inside of a shadow dance won't be as high as it was before, because if, say, mop rogue got three charges of shadow dance, PvP would be just rogues going in and global, like, destroying somebody for 20 seconds. Also, to offset the whole like burstiness thing, you can get your charges quicker. So you're going to spend a lot more time inside of a Shadow Dance, which was, I felt like it was a really good idea. That I know that since MUP, at least, like I talked to some of the other Rogue Tier craft, just a lot of people really wanted a way for you to gain more frequent access to your stealth abilities outside of Shadow Dance and Vanish. One of the things I remember people bringing up is if we could get something like that old Boomkin Solar Eclipse, Lunar Eclipse thing, where like as you spend resources, you get to go into stealth for a few seconds, you do your abilities, you go out, which is kind of how Shadow Dance works right now. Where right now every single finisher, depending on number of combo points spent, reduces your cooldown in Shadow Dance. So all of that is nice, but the issue is that they prune some of the abilities like Gouge and so on. So a lot of PvPers were very upset about those changes because Sub-Rogue lost a lot of its abilities in PvP to do sneaky things and arguably lowered the skill cap. Other people were also upset because you lost some of the cooldowns. And I mean, like, there were a lot of the... I remember during early betas, it was a video of, like, look, me, I'm playing a set of Sub-Rogue with two buttons. And it was really, like... And then, like, and look at our amazing gameplay in HFC when we were pressing the same, like, 2.5 buttons. But now we have, like, 25-minute and 2-minute cooldowns spattered between them. So, overall, I would say that Sub, in reality, didn't lose that much. But it just got changed, and a lot of people didn't like the change, which is how it usually is in WoW. Most people hate change. Most people hate change to classes that they like. And because Sub was always this like child that nobody paid attention to except for PvPers, it was even more kind of a slap in the face to them because, say, in PvE, like I would say that Sub was good at Nax 25 men briefly. It was good in Dragon Soul. It was good in Siege of Orgrimmar. And it was actually good for most of MUP. MUP was an exception where Sub was acceptable since I would say Blackrock. And I think in Heimel you still wanted to play Assassination. So because of that, like for PvEers, like Sub was always like come and go. You kind of played, but you generally stick to combat or Assassination. For PvEers, that was their bread and butter. And seeing that like specs that you play for so many expansions get changed so much was just a lot of people like Sub were upset. So because of that right now, they're reworking Sub to be kind of a mix of what it is right now and what it was before. Whereas they're lowering the amount of time you would spend inside of a Shadow Dance, making it do more damage, and kind of making you go from very sort of consistent, steady DPS to have sort of bigger range of amplitude in your damage meter. So when you have Shadow Dance charges and you're bursting higher, but when you don't, you're sustaining a bit lower.
Mm-hmm. So based on what you've seen so far in the beta, are they accomplishing their goal of mixing old and new?
I would say yes. I mean, honestly, like I said, I actually very much liked the new Sub. This one key exception I liked it was when we had the old legendary boots. So the legendary boots, they drastically reduce the amount of energy kind of cost on one of your main abilities, which made the whole rotation go fast. And that was fun because it was just like you kind of like you always going in Shadow Dance, you're coming out. It was fast, exciting gameplay. Now that they drastically nerfed the legendary, your rotation is a lot slower. There's a lot more time where you're just sitting there pooling. And like I said, I feel like pooling is a good, it's good for gameplay. You have to sort of like, you can't just like smash buttons when they light up. You're not a Frost DK or a Paladin. Forgive me, people who play Frost DKs and not Paladins. But you don't just hit shiny buttons that light up. But at the same time, I feel like old Sub also had a lot of, I feel like at some points too much of just pull energy, wait for things, do your like damage, and then wait again. So when that new Sub came out and you had boots, that was the fun. That was, you just went, you didn't stop. And now they're bringing it back a bit, so we'll see. And the issue is with seeing how it is right now in beta, is that, and by beta PTR, that everybody can test on, is that Blizzard's still very, I feel like there is still, it's very work in progress. Because like I said, all three specs are getting kind of reworked in 7.2.5. Sub and Outlaw are to be getting the biggest kind of updates of their Rogue specs. I don't know about the other specs. I would say Sub is number one. Outlaw is just getting a bit more consistent. And Assassination is just getting one of its key talents changed. And by changed, I mean killed off. But Sub is, I feel like a lot of the things that they're doing with Sub are very good. I like some of their ideas. I know that some of it is what people have been asking. Like changes to how Sub does damage in AoE situations, which I will talk about later after we, I guess, discuss the talents.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, overall, I'm generally very skeptical of Warcraft devs and how they tune some classes, how they do some mechanics, and there's multiple reasons for that. And again, I'm a salty PvE-er who doesn't like changes to his classes. But Sub is one of those things where I say that I actually don't mind most of the changes. Like, some of them I look at them and say, like that's not what I would have done. That's not what I've preferred. But at the same time, like, I can, for most of the changes, I can kind of see the reasoning behind it. So it's not too bad.
All right, cool. I guess let's start with level 15 then.
Okay, so in level 15, you basically have, it might look like you have three talents, but you actually have two. So you have Gloomblade, which you literally never use. I don't know a single situation or a single fight or a single anything, including PvE, but you, well, actually PvP. I don't even think you use it in PvP, to be honest. I know that Gloomblade and PvE, you literally never use it. So it's a nice talent. It's 100% trap that you would never go for. You generally run between Master of Subtlety and Weapon Master. So Master of Subtlety is generally more of a single target fight. It's also very good if you have boots, if you have bracers, because it, as you spend more time in stealth, you gain more value out of the talent. So if you have legendaries, you have the gear to spend more time inside of Shadow Dance, you're going to get more use out of it. Weapon Master is generally A, for people who just don't have the ability to spend as much time in Shadow Dance, or B, for AoE fights. Because Weapon Master is basically what Multi-Strike should have always been like. It's, my wow head tooltip is lagging, but it's basically, so every single one of your abilities has a 6% chance to just go off again. So say if you're pressing Eviscerate and Weapon Master procs, you do double Eviscerate, so you can double the energy from your passives that give you energy when you do combo points and so on. When you say use Shuriken Storm, which is Rogue AoE ability, each enemy hit has a 6% chance to trigger a second Shuriken Storm. The only flip side is that it is capped at 2 Shuriken Storms at most, but it basically means that if you have enough targets for consistent procs, your AoE DPS will plus minus double this Weapon Master, which is really nice. Awesome. So for Master of Subtlety, your Weapon Master, you can honestly use either one. Weapon Master is less consistent. Master of Subtlety is more consistent. That's about it.
Perfect. All right, level 30.
So level 30. Here in PvE, at least, you literally only use Subterfuge. You don't use Nightstalker, you don't use Shadow Focus. I know some people use Nightstalker in PvP because you have honor talents that allow you to have good enough sustain, like long enough duration on Shadow Dance that you can afford to go Nightstalker. And Nightstalker is nice because, one, it makes you move faster, which is important for, like, say, RBGs, arenas, and so on, when you're moving between bases, when you're getting up to somebody. Having said, like, plus 20% movement speed and stealth is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you do more damage, so it's technically more burst. Well, Subterfuge is more sustain, but what's also more important for PvE, and again, PvP to some extent still, is you get to do more Shadow Strikes, which means you get to generate more combo points, do more finishers, and reduce your cooldown in your Shadow Dance more. So you're spending more time inside of a Shadow Dance because of Subterfuge, just how it works, but also being able to use your stealth talents for longer, which are much more effective in terms of combo points per energy generation. You're able to get Shadow Dance quicker back. So it's the default number one PvE talent. It's one of the two good PvP talents. Shadow Focus you generally don't use ever, because it's just not good that much. And I believe, actually, I haven't tested since like 7.15. But from what I remember, like it actually nerfed for subtlety. So it says your abilities cost 75% less energy or stealth when Shadow Dance is active. But for Sub, I believe it's only 25, which kind of reduces a lot of the benefit from it. So in level 45 talent combination, you actually have somewhat more options. You have Anticipation, which I know some people use right now. It's kind of really nice when you're running Mythic Pluses or you're doing just anything with AoE, because it means that if you have enough targets, you can Shuriken Storm once and then like do a double finisher. But again, that requires a pretty high number of targets. A lot of people, if they don't have the gear or if they're honestly, kind of getting used to the classic of his vigor. Vigor gives you more maximum energy and increases your energy regeneration. So it helps you is that you don't have to be as precise as pulling energy. You don't have to be as efficient with saving energy to use for Mark of Death. Symbol of Death. So Azure Talent is deeper stratagem. I see a lot of PvEers running it because, again, they have access to more gears, they have access to better gear, and they have access to legendaries, which just kind of allows you to sort of disregard the energy regeneration. And again, because it does allow you to have bigger bursts. So I know that at least when I PvP, I usually PvP is deep stratagem. It's really nice for just damage. So I would say the top two talents that you look at is deeper stratagem and vigor. You don't really go into patience that often, but it's still there. Like, I would, if somebody wants to, they can try it out for Mythic Plus. I would say that's probably the best place to use it if there is any. So tier 60 is your throw ability talents. Those are generally pretty open. I would say they're kind of split into two categories. So if you're PvE, I would still say that you pretty much always want to go cheat deaths, because there's some situations where you want to use elusiveness. Number one that I can think of is if you're a rogue doing Mythic Dichondrius. One of the common strats involves rogues taking 4 or 5 stacks of the dot and just spamming Feint with elusiveness to survive the dot, because taking the initial hit with Cloak of Shadow so you don't die. So that's one of the situations where you want to use it. But often, more often than not in PvE, I prefer to go cheat deaths, because elusiveness got nerfed in Legion, and now only reduces the damage taken from non-area of effect. So there's, as a rogue in PvE, there's very few abilities that are going to hit you that are not area of effect, because you're a melee DPS. Like, you're even if you're getting hit by cleaves, it's still area of effect. So there's very few abilities that can hit you, which is why it's nice if you need it for a specific fight, but more often than not, you don't need it. And cheat deaths, honestly, like, cheat deaths is great for progression, because on progression, everything always goes wrong. So your healers lag, you lag, tank lags, boss lags, and does like a second cast of ability, I don't know. But it basically saves you 1 BRS per fight. And you already know that, like, you know what, even if it procs, like, you have to be more careful. Plus, in some situations, you can honestly just straight up use it as a DPS gain, like, say, a number of fights. Like, there's a mechanic that's going to kill me if I don't run out of it. Or I can set in a proc cheat death and just continue doing damage and let healers heal me up. And
God, this sounds like our rogue, like Legault, man. Like on Tychondrius, when the pillars come up and you're supposed to run behind him, he's always like, nah. Like, it just stands there, keeps going. I'm like, come on, man.
There's people think could benefit from switching to rogue just because of this talent.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, there's actually a lot of mechanics, sure. Bonds on Gul'dan, Rings on Elisand. Well, Rings on Elisand is actually elusiveness. What else? Fel'Nova on Starogger. Like I said, there's a number of fights where, like, you want to go cheat deaths because sometimes, like, again, it might not be even your fault. Like, say, there's a lot of damage going out, your healers haven't been able to top you off. If you don't have cheat deaths, you just die, and you're like, you can be salty, you can say, like, well, it wasn't my fault, but you still die. If you park cheat deaths, you give your healers a chance to get some breathing room. On a flip side, in PvP, you have Soothing Darkness, which is actually really nice, because in PvP, you get to spend a lot of time in stealth, especially with proper armor talents. And heal 3% of maximum life every second is very nice in PvP. Like, let's say I have, like, 5 million health in PvP, plus minus. So 3% of that is actually nice enough chunks that, for a class that doesn't have really any assets that are self-sustaining outside of Crimson Vile, it really helps you in, like, 1v1 situations when you don't have a healer. Depending on what you're doing, say, if you have a healer, if you're doing RPGs, you might want to go with elusiveness. I do know that I've seen some rogues to get elusiveness and just do flag carries, because you have basically permanent 30% damage reduction. Have very high dodge. Like, I want to say my rogue has, like, 50 to 55% dodge. You have Cloak of Shadows, you have Sprint, you have Shadow Steps. You have some mobility. You have pretty good survival. And again, 30% damage reduction. Like, you're effectively as tanky as tanks in PvP, while still being able to go on offensive when you need it. So that's tier 60. Tier 75 is really meh in PvP. I mean, in PvE. In PvE, you have Shadow Strike, Strike from the Shadow, which means that your Shadow Strike slows the target for 5 seconds. I feel like it's a nice talent. I don't really use it that often, because in some fights, you don't really want to have adds slowed. especially because if you're using it on one target, you're probably shadow striking a single target. So, like, if you have, say, five adds and you're slowing one of them, it's just really bad for, like, melee. It's bad for tanks. And you have, like, four adds following tank and there's, like, one add. Guys, wait up. I'm coming. Just wait for me.
Yeah.
You have prey on weakness, which is nice if you disable targets with one of your 25 abilities. They take 10% increased damage from all sources. On the flip side, the only really things that you can use it on PvE well is Cheap Shot or Kidney Shot. And the thing is that there's not that many things that are stunnable in raids. Mm-hmm. In 5 minutes, it's better because you can stun some add, and while you do have it stunned, everybody's doing 10% more damage to it. Or, honestly, it's even good in raids. If you can get like a 6-second Kidney Shot on something, it'll be a nice gain. You'll lose some personal damage from it because you're not doing any damage with Kidney Shot, but it's a nice DPS gain for raid, but all lasts. You also have Tangled Shadows, which is generally what I run is your Nightblade decreases. So when you Nightblade a target and auto attack it, it has, 30% now slow reduction. With this talent, it goes up to 50. So the reason why I use it is if you have Nightblade on something, which you probably do if there's your DPSing things, it's already slowed. So it's not like Shadow Strike when you're just like randomly slowing it. It's like your nose is going to be slowed. And 30% isn't even that much of a slow when you have other classes. So in addition to that, if there's, say, like multiple adds, you're probably going to be Nightblading all of them. So you're going to be, because you're on a multi-dot right now. So you're slowing all of them equally. So it's kind of fine. It's a nice talent that I run it because it doesn't really annoy me. And actually, I was wrong about Strike from the Shadow. It stuns the PvE targets, which is why I don't use it. It slows the player. Shadow Strike is really nice. Shadow Strike is actually really nice in PvP for me because it's dazed and it's non-dispellable. Tangled Shadows is nice in PvE for me because I can just multi-dot and like slow everything equally. But that's tier 75 talent.
All right.
So tier 90 is the second set. Like, so you had tier 60 and 75, which are more like utility, survival, whatever. Not really that important for DPS. Tier 90 is back to damage talent. So you have premeditation, premed, which was a different mini cooldown, so to say, prior to Legion, but now just like a passive. So your cheap shot, which you basically never used, and Shadow Strike, which you use a lot, generate one additional combo point. That's why it was very important to go with Subterfuge and PvE, because your cheap shot, your Shadow Strikes now generate a lot more combo points, so you're able to get back into Shadow Dance more often. And that's premeditation. It's just generally going to be number one talent you go for PvE. You also have Alacrity, which I know some people have used to some success on mostly AoE situations. So if you're not Shadow Striking and you're using like Shuriken Storm, which you do on number like multi-target fights, you're not really benefiting anything from premeditation because you're not getting use of it. So Alacrity gives you extra haste, which is nice. Like it's not that big, but it's nice because it's passive stats, doesn't hurt. You also have Enveloping Shadows, which honestly I don't know any situation where you would use ever. It's a pretty terrible talent that's getting completely redesigned in 7.25, so I don't know. Like I don't know where you would use it. I don't know how you would use it. It's very much like Gloomblade.
Nice.
So going in tier 100, here again you have more options. You have Master of Shadows, which gives you energy each time you use stealth or Shadow Dance. I generally use that in all PvE activities, be it Mythic Plus, raids, and so on. I know that some people only use it for single target, but again, that's for me. Like I like it so much when you're able to, when you don't have to spend the time pooling, as I mentioned earlier. That for me, like I just hate pooling personally. Sometimes I just want, like, I have a cooldown, I pop it, and I go.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the options. You also have Marked for Death, which is really nice on some fights where you have a lot of little adds that die quickly. Also Mythic Blast, because you can just mark one add, eviscerate, mark another add, eviscerate. On the flip side, the issue with that is if you're running something that consistently has a lot of little house targets, you're probably Shuriken Storming, which is giving you 5 combo points anyway. So it's more useful if you have like little adds going in one by one. So it's, again, it's kind of questionable of which fights you would use it on. The last talent that you have is this from above. I know a lot of people really like it for multi-target fights. A lot of people really like it for Mythic Plus. I personally just dislike the talent. I remember the last time I tried using it in raids. It actually has really cool animation, which is a shame because the talent, from my point of view, is terrible. But it would get do the animation, like you jump up in the air, then you come down, you hit your target really hard, you do big finisher, you do a small AoE around you, and so on. And when I was doing it in raids, it just wasn't doing damage to the boss. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, guys, but can we actually get this working? So I haven't used it ever since. I've tried to use it in some Mythic Blasts, but to me it felt like because the animation actually isn't instant, you're losing some time in it. To me, it just felt like too slow. I know, like, for some people say it's really nice. I know it's supposed to be good, so I'll just honest, I didn't really need to play with it too much, and I felt like it was clunky. But it's there. It's good on Sims. It's good, according to some people, on log. So you can use one of the nice things that it does do is depending on timings, you can use it to dodge ground based abilities. Like if say there's fire on the ground. I was able to jump over fire a few times. It's like an extra shadow step.
Nice.
Sort of. But then again, on the flip side, I haven't used it in a while, so any deaths due to fire because you use that ability, I don't take responsibility.
Right. Well, looking at this and these talents here, out of the first six talent rows, there's only two that are on use, and those are the two trap talents. So six rows are not exactly unused.
No. So Gloomblade is actually a passive. Gloomblade just modifies. Yeah. Well, so normally you have out of stealth, you use backstab as your combo point builder.
Mm-hmm.
So what Gloomblade does is let me see it so I can read the tooltip from Wowhead, please. Backstab does percent physical damage to the target. And damage is increased by 30% when you're behind the target. But you can use it from the front, so now it's a front stab, or just regular stab, which a lot of people were... Actually, that was one of the... Comically enough, that was one of the things a lot of people were very upset about, and that I remember threads on forums like, why can't I use backstab from the front? It says backstab. And that was up until... when you could use it from the back, and I know it was like it was issues in fights like Tordos where you had those specific like cones around bosses where they would have to like define that like yeah you're standing in front but we're gonna count as the back, and now they made that like you have to stand behind the boss for to do bonus damage, and people were like upset for various reasons. And I mean I honestly I don't really care that much about that, like that's not such a big deal for me.
Yeah.
So what Gloomblade does is instead of doing physical damage is increased by 30% when you're behind target. Now you just always do shadow damage, which is again like it's different. It definitely has some class flavor. Like I know that if the damage that in Bob come to you would be higher, it could actually become a really good talent. Like I know, like a few months ago, I would say I was playing around with it in Simulation Craft and just like playing like, well, what if I change its coefficient to be some other value? And I've noticed that like honestly, like it could be a very competitive talent if made. If it like had higher damage, and it would also get in and promote a different build where like people would go alacrity and so on. But alas, I don't not exactly sure what's going on there. But for now, it's kind of a trap talent.
Yeah.
But there's rogues right now only have, like you correctly stated, there's only two active abilities which are new things that show up in your bars. One of them is Tangled Shadows. No, not Tangled Shadows. Enveloping Shadows, which is the trap talent. Other one is this from above. It's not really a trap talent, but it's very situational.
Yeah.
But overall, everything else is passive. Well, actually, also marked for this is another active. But everything else is passive.
Yeah, that's a lot of passive, and I'm a fan of the passive talents. Because there are times where I'll take passive. Just because it's passive, I don't have to think more. So this talent tree looks very appealing to me for that reason alone.
I would say that that's a bit of... The sub-rogues, I would say, they're not the hardest spec. Like, a lot of people try to always... There's also very much of a fanboy factor for sub because it was always viewed as, like, the hardest rogue spec in PvE, especially. In large part because of Dragon Souls, which is, I want to say, that was, like, one of the cheers where you really had those rogues going sub for Spine of Deathwing. And that was, like, where sub was super competitive, especially with daggers. And back in Dragon Soul, you actually had four finishers. You have Rupture, which puts up a dot on the target. You have Eviscerate, instant damage. You had Slice and Dice, which was a buff on you to increase your attack speed. And you had Recuperate, which back then was a healing effect, which would heal you over time. But for Sup, it had Subtlety had a passive, I want to say. Or maybe it was like a down in a tree talent, energetic recovery. So basically, each time Recuperate would tick you for your healing, it would also give you energy. So it seemed like Sub was like so complex with his three finishers. But Eviscerate had another passive that it would refresh your rupture to its full duration based on number of combo points used to Eviscerate with. So at the end of the day, it was still back down to like kind of like 3.5 finishers. Like you would put up Rupture, and then you would just keep refreshing it with Eviscerate while you maintain Slice and Dice and Recuperate. But from those days, it was like viewed as the hardest PvE spec, and a lot of people like took in like I would say like fanboys level of pride. Like, well, I'm playing as a hard spec. You guys are playing like easy specs. You guys are a joke. I am the real rogue. I play the hard specs. I'm cool. So because of that, like, there's a lot of kind of fanboy factor for rogues for some, but it's not. I don't think it's like insanely complex and the hardest spec. But even with passives, it has decent level of complexion, because I feel like there's Sub is the only rogue spec where you can like completely screw yourself over. Like, if you have really bad shadow dances, and say you have zero shadow dance charges, your symbol of death is about to fall off, you're screwed basically, because symbol of death is a thing that people complain a lot about. I don't think it's that terrible. It increases all of your damage dealt by 20% and more once you get the new traits on your artifact, up to 24 baseline, and then more, even more if you get relics. So it's like you're missing 24% of the damage. It also makes your next Shadow Strike crit. So it's kind of like old Inquisition for red, but now you have to be in Shadow Dance or Stealth to use it, and it costs energy. So a lot of people don't really like it. But the thing with it is that, like, as a sub rogue, you can pretty much screw yourself over on damage. If, say, you locked yourself out for stealth for too long, like, you had a bad shadow, like, you had bad series of events that, like, you pop Shadow Dance and you weren't able to do damage, you're not able to generate combo points for some time, so you just have to rely on passive Shadow Dance regeneration, which other specs don't suffer for. Like, say, if you're an outlaw rogue and you're not on a boss for 10 seconds, like, boohoo. You can still pistol shot, and rolls the bones, since it's not like you're doing anything else during the fight. As assassination rogue, like, you're a bleed class, you're a poison class, you put up Rupture, you put up Garrett, you run away, you do bonds for 30 seconds, you come back, you reapply your dance, you go do bonds on Mythical Dan for another 30 seconds. It's the usual fun. As sub, if something happens during Shadow Dance, which means that, like, especially early on, that you have to get off target, that's a very big loss of damage. If you're unable to be on a boss for, like, extended periods of time, means that instead of, like, having your combo points finishers, like, take off, like, 20 seconds from Shadow Dance, instead you just have to rely on passive regeneration, which is honestly terrible. And because right now we don't even have Recuperate, we don't have Slice and Dice, you can't even use finishers at range. So, like, let's say if you're in the same position as Assassination Outlaw and you have to, like, sit there at, like, 30-yard range and, like, spam Shuriken Toss, the thing is you still need to be in melee to even use your finishers. That, like, it's very iffy. So sub does have a level of depth to it. I don't think it's the most complex spec in the game.
Yeah,
might be. I don't know if it's the most complex of rogue specs. I feel like they all have their, like, little things that you need to pay attention to. But it's decently complex. So even with passive talents, there's plenty of room to make mistakes for yourself that will hurt you.
All right, well, let's get into our resource management. Now, the two resources, as I understand it right now from my time as a rogue in the past, so you've got your energy and your combo points.
Yeah, so for sub, I would say sub even has three resources. At least that's how I track it. I have my combo points, I have my energy, and I have my Shadow Dance charges, because Shadow Dance charges are very fluid. So I track them the same way I track, I used to track Holy Power or Shield Rushes and Charges on my Paladin, because they're also like a resource there. So, because each Shadow Dance, it's like three full finishers to get it. And you build resources to go into Shadow Dance, like a mini burn phase. So, like I said, I would view it as a resource. And that's one of the things that I really like for sub as resource management thing, is on some type of fights, sub already shines pretty hard. Granted, there haven't been that many fights recently challenging enough that you would care about it so much. But In 725, they're actually making more emphasis on it. So one of the best examples in from previous years would be fights like Imperator Margog, first two phases of Arki. Right now, this year, probably Scorpion would be the prime example of where you can really shine as a sub. Too bad Scorpion was like a 1-2 mythic boss pulled boss. So it wasn't mechanically or challenging and complex enough for you to really care about min-maxing it. But so Shadow mechanic is when you're hitting multiple targets with Shuriken Storm, you're guaranteed to get your extra combo points, which means that in the right situation AoE, what you're doing is you go into Shadow Dance and you Shuriken Storm, Eviscerate. Shuriken Storm, Eviscerate. Shuriken Storm, Eviscerate. So you're not doing the same levels of damage in just AoE situation as, say, like a Frost DK or a Red Paladin. But what's important is that based on your damage breakdown, when you're AoEing, 50% or so, I would say, if your AoE DPS goes into just one single boss. So on say, on a fight like Scorpion, when you have the boss that you care about killing, which is Scorpion, and you have the little scorpions by him, which honestly, like, is a rogue, you don't care. Like, there's Red Paladins, there's Frost DKs, there's Warlocks, there's all those other fun classes that can have fun and kill them. Like, you're there for single target damage. That's always kind of been a rogue thing. You can use this AoE to just boost your single target a lot. And because it's also increasing your combo point generation, you're also able to get into Shadow Dance more quickly. Or what's important on some fights is, which will hurt your AoE damage, but will basically won't really change much for single target, is you don't even need to go into Shadow Dance for that. So you can just do Shuriken Storm, Eviscerate, Shuriken Storm, Eviscerate, Shuriken Storm, Eviscerate. Eviscerating is the main target. And because you're hitting multiple targets, you're getting your 5-6 combo points, Shuriken Storm, Eviscerates, you're able to regen your Shadow Dance charges very quickly. Which is, again, why I view it more of a resource, because there's like some situations where you can regenerate it very quickly. And I feel like it's always been one of my favorite things as a sub-rogue, that this ability to benefit a lot from multiple targets to push the damage into single target. And that's been second on Imperator Margog, where you would get little tiny arcane adds, which you would let your sub-rogues AoE in, which you would let your Enhancement Shamans Fire Nova off onto the boss. And you gain single target DPS in AoE situations, and a lot of single target. So that's kind of like one of very nice niche. And that's also getting more buffed in 725. So in 725, Blizzard adding another thing that when you Shuriken Storm multiple targets, you gain a stacking buff that increases the damage of your next Eviscerate. So if, say, when we're doing Scorpion and I'm just hitting like Shuriken Storm, Eviscerate, Shuriken Storm, Eviscerate, Shuriken Storm, Eviscerate, what it means next batch is that my Eviscerates are going to be hitting a lot harder, which is going to be nice for single target DPS gain, doesn't matter on other targets' damage gain.
Yes.
As for energy and combo points, so both of them, you have to be kind of, how to say it properly, because of pooling and how you can generate combo charges, you don't always want to sit at full combo points. So you have Shadow Tech, to be sure, which is your auto attacks have a chance to generate combo points. And usually, like, it's every, I would say, 4 to 5 auto attacks, maybe 4 to 5 seconds around. So you generate 1 or 2 combo points, depending if you get a proc or not. Which is why when you're, say, you're waiting on energy, you don't want to, like, sit at 6 combo points and, like, well, now that I have 6 combo points, I'm going to sit and wait for my energy to recharge to do a finisher. You want to stop a bit sooner, like, you want to stay, like, stop at 3-4 combo points and wait for energy, because while you're waiting on energy, your Shadow Check charges will proc and you will get extra combo points, which will prevent you from wasting them.
Oh, okay.
And again, that's kind of one of the nice things that when if you do mess up a lot and you don't have energy, you're kind of like, you don't have Shadow Dance charges, when you're pulling, you're still getting that like free combo points, which you can just use for finishers. Energy is very consistent, so energy is kind of just comes and goes. If you have Legendary Boots, before 715, you had kind of interesting mechanics that they would kind of be a very nice bonus to energy generation, depending on how far you stood away from the boss. So I felt like it was always like a fun kind of mini game. That in addition to doing all of the mechanics and like rotation, you would also like try to like slowly like backpedal away from the boss, seeing like where's the edge of his hitbox that you can hit without teleporting into him, so you can set at maximum range and get the most energy. So that was actually very interesting. I feel like that was interesting in the sense that I was like, for me, at least from all of the classes that I played, it was unique legendary. So it didn't really change what buttons I press, how I press them, but that still greatly changed how I approach the fight. So, like, on every single fight, instead of just, like, having a melee syndrome and just, like, jumping left, jumping right behind the boss and, like, running left, right, the doing insane Tony Hawk combos and just, like, jumping, I would just try to, like, stand, like, awesome. Stand at the edge and just be, like, very precise. Like, I'm going to stand here at this very, very tiny micropixel away from his hitbox and get the maximum energy. And that was, like, honestly, for me, that was kind of fun. Like, on a lot of fights, like, figuring out where that limit is, kind of having to remember it and so on. It was a bit sometimes annoying, but it was also, like, I felt like that was one of those, like, skill ceilings things people complain about all the time. But
you won't catch me complaining about doing Tony Hawk moves.
I mean, like, I'm mostly talking about, like, how I'm pretty sure, like, all of the melee do it, where melee have some syndrome where they have to just, like, run behind boss, like, where they don't stand still, like casters, and they, like, keep jumping, running. And you also see it a lot in hunters, now that they don't have to, like, stand still and cast, where, like, they're looking at your hunter, and, like, you see, like, this, like, nice range cluster, and there's, like, all of this mages, shadow priests just standing still, casting, and then there's this, like, hunter who's just, like, jumping left, right, like, look at me, I'm a hunter. It's like, I don't... Nice. Do you need to move? No, but I'm just gonna keep on jumping. I felt
anyway.
Like that was also very... That was a very nice tendency of people gameplay to notice when you're doing a Star Auger, where you don't want to collapse on people with the same with a different marker. And it's like, as a melee, I'm just standing there, like, I'm like standing in one exact pixel, just doing my DPS rotation, not moving. And then I see, like, there's, like, melee by me who are just, like, jumping left and right. There's, like, Demon Hunter who gives me heart attack every time they, like, Fell Rush or Blade Dance. And, like, some marks come out, I'm just like, I'm still standing still. Like, I've been standing in the same spot for the last 90 seconds and I'm not moving. And I see, like, all of the melee around me start to, like, move and spread. I'm like, why? Why not just, like, stand still and, like, move your hands away from, like, your boss awesome. And just, like, do rotation?
That's great. Good stuff. All right, let's get moving on to your single target rotation, or is it priorities, or how do we do single target?
Well, single target, it's pretty simple. Generally, you want to make sure that you go into Shadow Dance with full energy when you activate it. So depending on which talents you use, you might want to, depending on which talents you use, you have different energy values you want to pull for. But the goal is, inside of a Shadow Dance, Shadow Strike, Eviscerate, and so on. When you're not on stealth, you basically only have access to backstab for combo point generation active. So with backstab, from what I remember, you want to wait until you're like 70 or so energy before you backstab. And the reason for that is because, again, like, you don't want to overcap combo points. So if you have 30 energy, you backstab, and now you're waiting on energy to use the finisher, but you're sitting at maximum combo points, there's a potential to waste them. But if you're sitting at 70 energy, if you hit backstab, you can immediately finish her, so there's a lot less room to waste combo points. You also, at the same time, so again, you want to keep up Nightblade all the time on a target. All the times that you're not keeping up Nightblade, you want to spam Eviscerates, because that's pretty simple. The only really gameplay that more adept at that is when you're Shadow Dancing, you also need to make sure that you track your Symbol of Death, because it is 20 to 24% DPS gain.
Use a weak aura for that, or
yeah, I mean, I use weak aura for everything, but you generally, like, I mean, like, it's a buff on you, so you could look at your buff, whatever they are. I just use weak auras because I don't feel like moving my neck and, like, looking in the corner of the monitor. But you never want to let it drop, because it is, like, a significant chunk of your damage. So on the other side, you have a micro, I would say, mini cooldown in the form of Gore Hellbite, which is your artifact ability. It gives you, I want to say, 60 energy after you use it over the next few seconds, and it gives you instant 3 combo points. Plus, after 7.5 or 7.2, it does do decent amount of damage, so it is, like, actually nice for damage. Before, it was just, like, hit like a noodle. But that's also really good for helping you regen Shattered and Charges because of extra energy. Or just using it during, like, bonus damage taking on a boss, like Scrub Iron, for example. On AoE, everything becomes a lot simpler, because you just start using a lot more of Shuriken Storm. Still, at some point, you just Shadow Dance, Shuriken Storm, spread Nineblade to everything in the spam eviscerates. And that's it. You don't use Shadow Strike, you don't use Backstep.
Yeah, that kind of makes it a lot less complicated.
Yeah, again, you do need like a decent amount of targets to do that, but it's possible. As for your cooldowns, which is, I hinted previously, you have your Coma Bite, which is 3 combo points, some energy, also slows the target. So slowing the target, not really a thing in PvE. In PvP, you have plenty of other things to slow the target, mm-hmm. but sure. You also have Shadow Blades, which make all of your attacks generate one additional combo point. It is my issue with that talent that it doesn't really do... It makes your auto attacks also do shadow damage, which is not really that big. But my issue with that cooldown is that it is your really only cooldown outside of like Shadow Dance and Gormor Bite. It's a 3-minute cooldown baseline before convergence. But the issue is that it's still kind of a single target cooldown. Because in AoE, if you have enough targets, you gain literally zero benefit from it. You're already getting like 5 or 6 combo points from Shuriken Storm, so any benefit from Shadow Blade just goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
So the only time where it's really nice in AoE is when you're at this like breakpoints when you're getting 4 combo points from Shuriken Storms, and if you use Shadow Blades, you can get 5, which 5 guarantees that you get energy refund and just makes rotation smoother. So I guess it does have some uses in like some AoE, but it's, I don't know. As a cooldown, it's nice that it goes on you, unlike say Assassination, which main cooldown is Vendetta, which just you mark one target, and if that target dies, so does your cooldown. So it's nice because it goes on you and you can target switch, but it's still mostly a single target cooldown, which is, I feel like, somewhat problematic. Not sure, but it is what it is.
Right. So what do we got left then? Advanced tips and tricks.
So, again, a lot of things with advanced tips and tricks depend greatly on your legendaries. So lovely. Because
I think I have Rogues, the pants.
Yeah. Advanced tips and tricks is pants.
Advanced tips and tricks. Get good legendaries.
Well, that's number one. The pants is explain to your raid leaders that you're irreplaceable if you do Gul'dan progression, which I think now is you're sort of more replaceable, but still Rogue is OP. Or if you do Taikandre, it's because you do insane self-healing. Granted, that being said, legs are actually, like, people complain about them, but I found them to be really useful when I've been doing open world, like when recently I was doing the Disruptor Portals on Broken Shores that summon those, like, nice 30 to 60 million bosses that you need to kill. Because I just, like, I don't have a group, so I just, like, solo them. Legs actually do make it a lot easier to survive them, because you're healing for... You're healing for a lot, and it doesn't have a cooldown. So normally your survival is very limited. These legs, your survival is way higher than before. So they're also like nice if you're doing like previous raid soloing, not like Cataclysm, but if you're doing like mob raids, possibly wad raids. I don't know how many people actually bother doing wad raids right now.
Nobody.
Yeah. <I'm> well, I don't know.
I noticed that I was, like, I want to say at the beginning of the expansion, I went into HFC to kill Zul Karak for some reason. I don't remember why. I noticed that I wanted to kill him. I think it was, like, for Transmog or something. And I was able to solo him, and that was, like, prior to 7.2. So now it probably make it even easier, I guess. But
I want
to
say that I had a mining quest that made me go and get something off of Archimonde in Hellfire Citadel.
It sounds horrible.
It was really stupid, but what I did was if you go back to your garrison, there's a guy there that lets you queue up for LFR, and I just queued for the very last wing, which was just him, and I didn't have to mess with it. So I went in. I couldn't quite one-shot it because it wouldn't have put you in the other realm, like it was just over, but I grabbed a buddy of mine, and we just did it super easy.
Yeah, so another nice thing about legendary legs is they're actually kind of insane for the mage tower scenario. So as a WoW-head's favorite rogue mage tower guide rider, I've noticed that like when I was doing some all those challenges in my rogues the first day that they were out, is legs actually completely trivialized assassination challenge. Like I'm going to say assassination challenge was like 4 pulls. In part because I didn't realize that you can blind the boss until like the last pull. I was like, oh, let me use blind on one of the adds. Oh, it didn't work. Okay. I'm like, wait a second, what if I use it on a boss on the last pull? I'm like, oh, you can blind boss. Okay, this challenge is done. And then sub one was...
That's funny.
Yeah, that sub one was a bit more difficult than assassination one, but Lex also helped her greatly because during... That's also shared with like Frost DK or something. It's an insane mage one where you go into Eye of Eternity. And because you take a lot of damage, a decent chunk of it is 100% unavoidable. So Lex just like kind of give you a lot more room for errors. But outside of that, you have a lot of really good legendaries. So you have shoulders, which are shared within all three specs, which are conveniently enough best in slot for all three specs. Great design. I'm actually happy for once that if you get shoulders, you can literally play any spec and you already have one good legendary for it. It's actually pretty cool. Nice. So the thing specific for sub that's also getting removed in 7.25 is right now you have an artifact trait, which name I will not remember because it is not important. But every time you sprint, if you sprint for 3 seconds without taking or doing damage, you go into stealth. So what a lot of rogues do, and by a lot I mean like pretty much everybody who tries to go for high damage, is once you run out of like Shadow Dance charges or you're at some low amounts that you want to conserve, what you want to do is you want to dump some energy so you can regenerate it for the next few seconds without overcapping, and then just sprint with I have it with cancel auto attack macro into it to make sure that you're not attacking, your dot ticks don't count against it. So you can activate stealth, and that's like a free re-stealth that you can, again, you can shadow strike, you can simple of death, you get some energy back. It's pretty convenient. And again, because it's a proper stealth, not a shadow dance, you gain your shoulders buff from it. So it's kind of cool.
If you had the shoulders.
Yeah, well, as somebody who has 15 legendaries on his rogue and doesn't have to deal with the tragic world of legendaries in Legion, I'm a I say.
All right. Yeah, nice. Legendaries have been a point of contention for me this whole
time. See, I can say that, and I can swear that I'm not being bribed by Blizzard. Well, maybe I am. You'll never know. That as somebody who has every single legendary available for any spec on his class, I feel like legendaries are perfectly fine design. They're great.
Oh my
I have
God.
Zero problem with them. Now, if I was somebody who didn't have every single legendary for all specs of his class, my opinion might have been different. But now that I have all of them, legendary is great. Can't wait to see them next expansion. Love to get them next year. Thank you, Blizzard. Best design ever. I feel very excited about them.
So what I'm
just stuck with AP.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is for the legendaries to be good, is you just have to have them all.
Yeah,
so they
I
should
mean,
just
it's
give
pretty
us,
simple.
They should just give everyone all the legendaries right at the start. You hit 110, boom, you've got them all.
As somebody who has every single legendary, I completely disagree with that logic. I feel that it diminishes. as a toxic elitist raider who likes to watch other people suffer and be sad, I feel like legendaries as they are right now are perfect. But all joking aside, I do think most people notice that with 7.2, legendaries became a lot more common. Like, I would say that on average, I would get like one legendary every month prior to 7.2. Since 7.2, I averaged one legendary every 6 days. So,
jeez,
there's something to think about.
Are you doing like everything though? Are you doing like all of the mythic dungeons and all of the?
Well, yeah. So. I actively dislike Mythic Plus, and by actively dislike Mythic Plus, I mean another great idea, Blizzard. Thank you so much. I love it. 10 out of 10. Please more. Don't forget to invite me to the next beta testing. I love all of your ideas. They're great, which is exactly why I only do a single Mythic Plus for the next week, just to get my cash and my AP. But so what I do personally is I generally wait for the last 8K of the week. Say this week is a bit special because like we get 8K on Monday and I don't really like saving everything for Monday. But if it's like on like 8K comes in on Friday or Saturday, that's ideal. So I'll do all LFRs, I'll try to do all raids, normal, heroic, mythic, and I do all of Mythic Zero dungeons. And that's it. Well, that plus
that's it. All of LFRs, all of the raids, all of
everything.
The dungeons, all of the mythic. That's
well,
it.
See, the nice thing about them is at least, like, again, for me, is most of the people I know, people make groups for old raids, and by old raids I mean I burn like Marin 2 UV, so you can like burn through them. Like, I mean, like, we were doing this week I even joined a pug for them because I saved it till Monday night due to Mother's Day and all the other things going on. I just didn't have time. And it was like we were killing bosses in under a minute. Like, you pull Ursug dies in 45 seconds, 30 seconds. And you're like, okay, like, you know what? Maybe this isn't so bad. As for Mythic Zeros, I mean, that's probably generally for me, like, that's my least favorite part, or so it would be. But because I have a rogue and we're super saturated in class flavor, what is generally called when you do all Mythic Zeros is called a World Tour. What I like to do is a stealth world tour, where you have a group of five people. All of them have stealth, so combination of rogues and druids. Ideally, it's like four rogues and a single druid who you force to go guardian after it stops complaining. And you just... And I mean, we even used to do it with just like four rogues, five rogues. And you walk up to the boss, you don't kill any trash. You do your burst opener, bosses die, you go to the next boss. It's really nice. In most dungeons, you can skip pretty much all the trash and just go from boss to boss. I know that when we were doing it often enough, you would get to the next boss before your cooldowns would come up. So you would do, like, so like say two people cooldown on the first boss, other two people cooldown on the next boss, and so on and so on. And then you can get through dungeons very quickly. Like,
oh, I bet.
Yeah. I mean, see, every time I do this, I'm like, imagine how much fun Mythic Pluses would be if you didn't have to do kill count. It's like you get a group with like a Rusty Druid, Guardian Druid, three rogues, or maybe like a Boomkin, or maybe a Feral, doesn't matter. And you just go to the boss, kill boss, go to the next one, bolstering, fortified, any of that doesn't exist as affixes. That's for plebeian classes that actually have to kill trash.
Awesome.
Oh, well, you're being honest.
Yeah, that's good.
But like I said, like, so... And I mean, the thing is that I used to do all, or at least try to do all raids prior to 7.2, but the legendary drop rate, I feel like it's been greatly bumped up. Since, like, in a, what, like, month and a half since 7.2, I got more legendaries than I had, that I gained from, like, August, when the expansion came out, till 7.2. So there's definitely something funky going on there, but mm-hmm. I'm not complaining.
Nice.
But as for specific tips for rogue legendaries, so... You have, I already talked about Mantle, you have Cinnadari as the belt that does leech and deals bonus damage above 90%. Generally, it's, not so good. It's a damage legendary, but it's probably like one of the weaker damage legendaries that you can get. The only really thing that I can think of, it's really nice on Odin and Halls of Valor 5-man. Because the boss is over when you get to 80% of his health.
Oh, right. So it works. So you get that
30% damage for half the fight.
Nice.
It's also decent in if you're just doing Odin on raid, because one, he finishes at like 10%, so it's like a small gain. But what's nice is every time you get those little adds that come out, you're getting full use of the belt on them. Or at least like most of the belt on them before they like go jump back. You have Denial of Half Giants, which is bracers. Those bracers, actually, I like them a lot because they're kind of fun to play. I don't think that they're like that like they're also one of the three strongest legendaries for damage. But like for with them, I have a fun minigame. So what they do is each time you use finisher, it extends the duration of Shadow Blades based on how many combo points you spend. So for me, it's a fun game of how long can I keep up Shadow Blades for? And like on some fights with AoE components, like against Corpyron, I was actually able to combine with Convergence. I would like use it at the start of the fight, and then I see that my debuff falls off, and my Shadow Blades are already up. So, like, granted, that's also helped by some of the relics. But it's really interesting how with this legendary and some of the relics, it goes from baseline 15 seconds, which is increased to, I want to say, 25-ish, 28-ish seconds if you have the traits for it. You can make it last over a minute with bracers, so it's like
that's
doubling.
Crazy.
It's actually kind of fun to think about how, like, previous expansion, it was like last for 15 seconds, 3 minutes cooldown, so it's like uptime is 1/4 × 3, so it's like 8% uptime, and now you can get it to like 80-100% uptime, and it's kind of funny. Like, and it's not that strong of a cooldown as I've mentioned earlier, so it's. And I have some situationless, but it's fun for me. Like I like seeing it. Like, oh, I made my Shadow Blades last for like 90 seconds. It's fun. You have next legendary. You have Arzabut, which is the last of the 3-pick legendaries you want to get, and that restores 3 energy for each Shadow Strike and a tiny bit of energy based on distance between you and the target. Those were really fun to play before 715 once they got completely destroyed and their energy got gutted heavily. One thing I can say about them, and there's a number of bosses, like right now I want to say it's Hellion Krosis, who are a bit special because they're huge bosses. They have a hitbox that's really, really far away from you, and the energy calculated is based on distance from you to the center of their hitbox. So standing on Hellion, you can get a ton of energy from the boots even after the nerf, same as Krosis. So that's nice. Other than that, they're kind of a nice passive effect. You don't really do the whole mini game to get extra energy, but whatever. Like, Blizzard doesn't want you to have fun. That's sad but true.
Nerf fun.
So next legendary is Insignia Ravenhold. That's another shirt legendary, but all 3 rogue specs. Again, it's not the best, but it's decent. It has some passive frontal cone AoE cleave component. It's a really nice thing about it that you have the ring, you have the shoulders. Ring isn't best for any of the 3 specs, but it's strong enough that you don't feel like, oh, I have Cephus Priatus, I'm gonna be really fast when I'm tying set news around my Cephus. And by Cephus, I mean around my Priatus. So it's a nice. So last legendary you have is Dreadlord Deceit, which is a cloak. It increases the damage of your Shuriken Storm. And it stacks up to 30 times, which is takes exactly a minute, which is really nice in some fights. Like best example would be Spellblade. Where Spellblade, you have the whole reanimate adds, which happens about spread by about a minute or so. Which means that you can get that you can get the maximum stacks, which make it do 10 times the normal damage. You can go into Shadow Dance, which doubles your damage on Shuriken Storm. As soon as all of the adds spawns, you hit that Shuriken Storm, you crit them for 3 million each, and you say, well, I can do AoE as a rogue and hope that they all die. And then they don't die and you're sad. And then they do die and you're happy. But it's nice. It's pretty solid for AoE. It's actually very strong when you're hitting a lot of targets not often enough. So another good fight would be Gul'dan with Tiny Little Eyes, because they don't come out too often, which allows you to regen stacks and just drop a big burst on them. But it's nice. I like using it in Mythic Pluses because you can generally recharge it between packs and get extra value. And even when you're spamming, you're still getting more damage every 2 seconds, I want to say. So it's nice. And that's it for your damage legendaries. You also have your healing legs, which we discussed, which are pretty interesting if you consider what their name is and what they do. And you don't want to go in more depth about that.
I don't know what they're called. What are they called?
You have.
I feel like I'm missing a joke here, and I don't know what it is.
Wait, which one? The legs?
The legs.
Yeah.
Aren't they Valera's legs or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, and if you remember Valera as NPC, she wears a mini, mini, mini shorts or a thong, and you're I'm wearing red rogue underwear as legs. sinking. Okay. Now you're going to ask how I'm getting healing from the miser. That's too much information.
It's Will of Valera, I believe.
Nice.
Yeah, it's interesting. But and more importantly, if since you see Valera in your rogue hold, why can't you just give her pants back? It's hey, I have your pants here. Do you mind if I wear them? Maybe you should just return them. Maybe she'll give you a nice damage legendary instead. But yeah.
Nice.
You also have Priatus, which is Priatus, and that's all can be said about that. You also have Cephus, which is terrible because haste is terrible and you feel sad about it because it's actually Cephus is not that bad since 7.2 when it gives passive haste and more haste and more speed and more haste on interrupts. That's a sad and funny thing about Cephus that everybody got it. Everybody complained about it. Then they actually made it to be pretty decent to the point that I think it's actually one of the best for some classes for damage because of haste. But this is one of a few expansions when Blizzard decided that the haste will fix it actually doesn't apply to rogues anymore, so you don't like it, so you're just sitting there come on. But whatever, it's a maybe one day it'll give you something other than haste, and you'll be happy.
Not even once.
Right. All right, well, I think this went a little longer than we were intending, but are there any last points that you'd like to add before we wrap this up?
Everything's getting, well, not everything, but a lot of things are getting reworked on 7.25. Have fun relearning the specs, the talents, and everything. I know that theory crafters will have fun recalculating everything out. That's it. I mean, the one thing I see a lot in the Rogue community is that people, especially people who complain a lot and say, like, well, what is the best Rogue DPS spec? Tell me. Like, I want to place the best DPS spec. And that's been a thing since, like, as long as I can remember. And, like, honestly, since WoD, I would say, because in MOP I was still toxic, and in WoD I freed myself from toxicity and the least toxic person ever, is you just play whatever you like more. I mean, honestly, like, at any single point, one spec will be better. It might not even be on everything. Like, I say, like, I know that, say, in WoD, for example, I had good results in some fights playing as a spec that should have been bad because of our strat. I know that now you can, if you're a really good sub rogue, you can do really good damage. If you're a good outlaw, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good assassination, you can do good damage. And when I say good, I mean you have good legendaries. Like, your player skill doesn't really matter when you play DPS. It's all about legendaries right now, in case somebody was confused.
Nice.
So if you have good legendaries, you can do fine on any spec, as long as you have good legendaries for that spec. But, I mean, like I said, you can play whatever you want. Play what's more fun, because it's kind of like a mean way of saying it, but if you need to ask which spec you should play, you can probably play whatever you want. Because the only, like, the playing the proper spec matters only at such a high level of players that they probably know which specs they want to play. Like, I mean, like, we got top 10 US Hell Yeah, and I was playing sub, and another rogue in my guild was playing assassination. I know some rogues were playing outlaw, and it's like, even at that level, you can play whatever spec you like more, not because it's best.
Right.
So if you're going, like, to a higher gameplay level, yeah, maybe you need to play spec. But if you're, like, higher than, like, say, like, top 30 guild world, I don't think you're going to be going to Discords, like, asking, like, hey, guys, I'm new here. What spec should I play? Probably you, in fact, like, you probably know what spec you want to play. You look at fights, you look at strats, you say, like, well, on this fight, I'm going to have, like, no ops, I'm going to bust. So I'm probably going to go assassination and just, like, dot things up. Or, like, on this fight, I'm going to have one big thing that I need to nuke that's surrounded by little things. I probably want to go sub. In this fight, it's like, well, we are pirates, and I'm going to go outlaw. Because if you need consistent AoE damage, you just sit a rogue and you bring in a real class. Haha.
Wow.
Well, with that, I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah. But if you do need some information, if you do need some help, I would say that Rogue Discord is still a really good tool. It has plenty of information. It has plenty of people who will inform you that, in fact, you should send yourself if you have any questions whatsoever instead of bothering them. But there's a number of helpful people. For shoutouts, I want to say that the best, like, the most right now important person in Rogue community, in my opinion, is TheoryCrafter Aetis from Europe. So have fun catching him online if you're an NA player. But he's amazing. He does, at least from what I see, like, I'm sure that there's, like, some theory crafters who I also don't really notice do a lot of work behind the back, but I know that he does a ton of theory crafting. He's doing a lot of maintenance on simulation craft. He also has really good rotation. So I'm generally personally not a fan of all of the rotation add-ons that tell you what buttons to press, because they always limit you. And I mean, like, what I usually do is when I play a new class is, like, I get some of those add-ons, like Hikili, CLC, except I think CLC is dead. But I get the add-on, I play with it for, like, say, like, 1 week, 2 weeks, and then I stop because I kind of get a hand of the class, kind of remember what to do. But not all people do. I know that some people don't even want to think about it. Like, I know that depending on the level which you play, you actually might just really want to have an add-on that always tells you what button to press next. And I know that he made an add-on called A Dissertation, which I will link in Discord later. I guess you guys can attach it to, like, podcast somewhere in the notes. And I think that it's one of the best for new players, because I'm not 100% sure if it tells you when to use your cooldowns. I think that's up to, like, personal discretion. But it does, if you have nameplates enabled, it checks how many enemies near you. It tells you when to refresh dots. It tells you when you should AoE, like when you should Shuriken Storm, or when you should Shadow Strike, when you should Backstab. tells you like multiple things, like you should Shadow Dance into Mark of Death into Shadow Strike now, you should pool now, and so on. So it's really helpful to new players. And it works for all three specs, so it's good for all three specs.
All right.
Perfect.
Okay, well, if you haven't already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It's the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests you've heard on the show. That's discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you have for shoutouts this week?
My legendary rogue pants. So I can not die.
There you go.
Definitely Greyhound for coming back and joining us again. And it sounds like we're going to have to do one of those, the follow-up episodes soon after they make a lot of these sweeping changes. But definitely thank you so much, Greyhound, for coming on. I wanted to say thank you to Daryl and Jab and Justin and all the folks that have been helping get through the Nexus Challenge, because that's been actually really, really fun to go in and play those matches and earn all the rewards. I finished that last night. I opened all the loot boxes, and it's awesome. And I had a lot of fun playing D.Va, and just like thanks to the crew for coming in and playing. Daryl, what do you got?
Well, a big shout out to the raid team. I was finally back after a couple week hiatus now that the playoffs are finished for the Oilers. So it's good to get back into my normal social schedule of actually talking to other people. So it's great that way. So big shout out to the raid team. I want to give a shout out to, I believe his name is Joseph Messina, who requested this show and gave us the opportunity to talk to Greyhound again. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And so a big shout out to you, and thanks for coming on and talking to us again. Do you have any other shout outs other than Aethys?
I want to say thank you to my guild for deciding not to bench me or send me packing to Encore. Thank you, Strawberry Puppy Kisses. Shout out to my friend Nelly, the Toxic Burr, who is every day striving to become a better sub rogue to one day become as good as me. I mean, he's still not getting there, but one day, I believe, with all of his heart, he can be there.
Nice.
Maybe, possibly. Probably not, but good motivation. And I don't know, there's rogue community is pretty good this expansion. I want to say thank you to all the other rogues who helped me do my Mythic Zero stealth run so I don't have to do them by myself. Shoutouts to I guess just Rogue Discord in general. Again, to Aethys for all of his theory crafting, all of his reporting bug fixes, all of his bug fixes that get done by Blizzard, even if sometimes they do nerf her damage quite a bit. Actually, if you can hold on those, that'd be great. I guess the only other person is Project, which is my rogue, which he did all of Nighthold progression of his in my guild. Thanks to him for being here and totally not sitting so I can get nice loot on farm. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
But yeah, that's it.
All right. Before we wrap this up, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else?
I stream where they can see my amazing sub-sin, sometimes outlaw gameplay on Twitch at twitch.tv/gray_hound. It's very creative and original. I'm also available on Twitter at bit_hound. They're even more original. I'm also available in pretty much every single class Discord that I haven't been banned from, which is most of them. but mostly available in Rogue and Paladin one for obvious reasons. And that's it. I guess I'm not going to leave my number. Call me baby, maybe.
Nice.
Perfect. I believe that is it for episode 167 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show over at iTunes, Stitcher, or thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!